Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let this play. Of course, this was a tribute to Notorious B.I.G. after getting blown away. Puff Daddy and Sting put this together, I think, at the Grammys or something like that. But at the end of the day, of course, Puff Daddy was accused of being part of orchestrating the Notorious B.I.G. killing. If you look at some of those like Netflix specials, that kind of good stuff. Who knows where the truth actually lays there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA. You know, the Brits actually, Europe has got some heavyweights of note. Of course, we've got the 2012 Olympic gold medalist, the once beaten, got beat by Andy Ruiz. Bottom line is, talking about Anthony Joshua, of course, one time we thought he was going to be a stud. We had David Price. He was another stud. Of course, Tyson Fury is the world linear world heavyweight champion right now. No doubt about that. I believe unbeaten in 28 fights. Of course, had that one draw with Deontay Wilder, very controversial. It came back and pasted Wilder in the rematch. Of course, Wilder talking about a third fight, but do we really need a third one? Anyway, another heavyweight starting to make a note, the 2016, I think, Olympic gold medalist. His name is Tony Yoka from France, 9-0, 7 KOs. Had a decision win last night over journeyman Christian Hammer. Hammer drops to 25-7. But whether he's a guy to watch or not, we'll find out from my next guest. Of course, he comes to us from the UK. He is the one, the only, the incomparable Mr. Kenny Rayford. Kenny, how's life treating you, man?
No, not so bad, Pedro.
Not so bad. I mean, is COVID, you know, COVID's going crazy over here. And I told a friend of mine that they got together for Thanksgiving. And I said, you know, according to my doctor, and I talked to my doctor at UCSF, if you got together for Thanksgiving with people that you didn't live with, this and that, you should probably quarantine for 14 days. Man, I am the most unpopular guy in the world right now.
Oh, yeah. We got the same here. We're only coming out of lockdown next Wednesday, our second lockdown. But it's a virus. It's a flu virus that's gone crazy. And it's until they get an antidote for it, we're going to be in and out of lockdown like you wouldn't believe, you know.
Well, I know, but here's what's up. You got to realize there's 30% of this country here doesn't believe it even exists. I mean, I'm telling you, man, we have a certain amount of people, mainly right-wing types in this country, but we've got some actual people of Latino descent and some blacks as well that think that this COVID virus is a hoax, and yet people are dying left and right around them. How do you convince somebody of something that's so obvious, Kenny? Can you tell me that?
Well, you're talking to someone who's had it. I had it. I caused it at the end of August, the August bank holiday. I caused it. I was in a right mess for 8 days. If I hadn't have been as fit as I was for my age, perhaps would have got me somewhat worse. But Pedro, I went to four funerals in 2 weeks from family members and friends with the COVID disease. You know, it strikes you, and within minutes, hours, you can be high and then you can be as low as the floor. You know, it really takes a hold of you like you wouldn't believe. And people who don't believe in it, you know, they need to go and, you know, they need to go and get a brain cell, because it's very, very real. The figures are there.
The president doesn't believe in it. He supposedly had it. This guy that's about to get booted out of the White House, he supposedly had it, which I sort of find a little funny, but he supposedly had it. And he's telling people to get together for Thanksgiving, don't worry about it, this and that. And every other scientist in the world is saying, don't get together for Thanksgiving. So you have these people, 30% of the, and probably 30% of my listeners, believe the president. You know what I'm saying? And he's speaking in one direction. Imagine if we had a leader here in the United States that came out and said, you know what? It isn't a crime to wear a mask. Let's all wear a mask for a few months until we can get this virus taken care of. Can we all get together on that? You know what I'm saying? Instead of starting diversity in a war. But, you know, that's what we have in the United States, man. 30% of the people here will not wear masks.
Probably the same here, Pedro. You know, same here. You know, you get the fools walking around without a mask on. They think they're big. They think they're larger than life. And, you know, it's crazy. I don't know what ticks in their head at all, you know.
You know, Kenny, I lived through the AIDS crisis here in San Francisco, and I was a single guy at the time. So what I did was I grabbed my girlfriend and I made sure I didn't fool around. So, I mean, you could avoid AIDS by not dropping your pants. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was a way to avoid AIDS. with something that's floating in the air, you really can't avoid it per se. And I try to tell people that, you know, and some friends of mine got together for Thanksgiving and now they won't even return my phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there you go. Some people have got it and some people haven't.
Okay. Let's talk about the heavyweights. What's Tyson Fury doing? He's training right now?
No, the camp stopped. He's a bit upset because he's supposed to fight this kid, this European champion, Cabello, the one who fought, who beat up on Chisora not so long ago.
Uh-huh.
And the money deal fell through from the TVs and stuff. They weren't offering enough money. So he's a bit upset at the moment because, you know, he should have been getting this fight. And it's all fell apart. Wilder's kicked off again, as you probably know, about the rematch. And it's a whole mess. The guy just wants to get in the ring again, defend his title. His sponsors want, you know, some airtime. And unfortunately, it's fell through. And, you know, he's not happy at the minute, you know. So Frank Warren and the TV company is going to have to come together and formulate a plan quick to get him out of there because he's just been in a pretty long training camp and he's been working hard. And for it all to just end in a day's notice, he's obviously upset, you know.
How long was he in camp?
He's been in camp for weeks. He's probably been in camp close to 2 months, you know.
You know what? At least he didn't find out the way I used to find out in the amateurs. You know, I used to find out in the amateurs when I got to the weigh-in and I looked across.
You know what? I used to get to the weigh-in myself and then wait to be getting, I'd almost be getting ready to get gloved up and then they'd tell me.
He didn't show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, what do you mean he's not here? I remember starving. I remember for this guy, Bill Hernandez. It was supposed to be Hernandez versus Fernandez at the Racist Olympic Club. And I think he had a golden glove or he had some regional title from Northern California, from Sacramento. And I was ready to rumble with him. So I went there and I was willing to fight in this racist club. It was absolutely no doubt about it. It was a racist club. So I was willing to fight there to fight him. And he didn't show up. And I was, you know, and I sweat down to 139, Kenny. You know what it's like to go down there and wait and these guys don't show up, man. That's the most frustrating thing in the entire world. So Tyson Fury was ready to rock. He'd been in camp a few weeks. I thought Bob Arum was calling his shots.
Well, he's got Bob Arum and he's got obviously the TV networks and he's also got Frank Warren as well. You know, Frank Warren's went along with Bob Arum. Obviously, Bob Arum's had some issues with Crawford and stuff of late, so maybe he's been sidelined with stuff. I don't know, but I think what it was, I think the opponent just didn't, you know, set the world on fire with the TV companies, you know. So I don't know, you know, we'll find out this week what's happening with him, and we'll be sure to let you know for 1,000,000% exactly what way he's going because he needs to get active now. You know, he needs to get. You know, he needs to get some rounds under him.
Okay. So switch gears just for a second to Deontay Wilder. The mask was too heavy. He got tired because they put Valiums in his water. Mark Breland put water in his put Valiums muscle relaxers in his water. He was drugged. I mean, he's idiot, buffoon. What word fits idiot? What word applies to Deontay Wilder? Idiot, buffoon, clown, which one? All of the above?
I think probably all of them. But you know what the guy did? The guy did the cardinal sin. The sin that they all do these days when you're heavyweight. Try and become bigger. Deontay Wilder relies on speed. That power is generated by speed. He went and packed himself, I don't know, what was it, 20, 30 pounds heavier? What is he? How can you train hard, Pedro, and put 20, 30 pounds on? Like Andy Ruiz. You know, it was the same thing. Although Deontay Wilder looked the part, he was glugged down with that 20, 30 pound he put on to be a big heavyweight. He was already a big heavyweight. He was like a Jeff Merritt-style heavyweight. He needs agility, and he needs agility, and he needs speed. He doesn't need to be weighted down with his own weight, let alone the size of Tyson Fury mauling all over him, you know. He was his own worst enemy. He just didn't train as he should have trained, and that's it. He's got himself to blame. That's why he gassed out.
Yeah, speaking of gassing out, Danny Dubois gassed out against Joe Joyce. What was going on there? I mean, come on. He was gassed out by the second round.
I think he was gassed out after the first 15 seconds, wasn't he?
Whoa.
It's crazy. These guys are all trying to become big. They look like bodybuilders, not fighters, but you know, the thing was, a friend of mine tipped Joyce to win. I'll be honest with you, I thought Dubois was going to win it.
Me too.
Neither one of them is going to set the world on fire, let's be honest with you. You know, all credit to, you know, Dubois was gassed out. He come unstuck. He can't even slip a left jab.
You know, Kenny, we're going to go to a break, but I'm laughing because one time I was gassed out so bad, I looked like I was having an asthma attack. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back with UK's Kenny Rainford after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Hour number two of the Sunday edition, 26 minutes past the hour. We are talking with our ace from across the pond. I'm talking about Mr. Kenny Rainford. And Kenny, of course, Anthony Joshua is going to take on Kubrat Pulev. Can Pulev pull the trigger here at all, seeing Joshua has shown he has a propensity maybe to get knocked out?
Probably, I'm going with Joshua on that one. I think Joshua's just, I think he's learned some valuable lessons from the Ruiz situation. But I think he'll be able to manage it with him.
You know, Hector Martinez, who managed Roberto Duran at one point in time, is a 2-time amateur Golden Glove champion. He said that the reason why that he lost to Ruiz, Anthony Joshua, is that he brought his chin into Ruiz's punching range without just total disregard. He didn't think that Andy could punch. Of course, Andy ended up knocking him out. So he's sort of doing that safety first type of thing. I don't really want to see a safety first type of fighter fighting at 6'7". I mean, the Klitschkos, they were sort of bruisers at first, and then they turned into boxers per se, and they got a little boring, and their legacy, of course, as far as all time greats concerned, is going to probably be a little bit tarnished because of that.
Yeah, but let's not get carried away with Joshua as an all time great. He's far from it. You know, he's got a lot of flaws. An awful lot of flaws, his chin being one, his mobility. I mean, don't forget, Klitschko almost knocked him out as well.
Yeah, okay. Here's a knockout that took place earlier in the year. Wow, Alexander Povetkin snuck that uppercut in against Dillian White. Was that boxing at its best as far as pure beauty was concerned, or what?
Oh, just great, wasn't it? Great to see.
Oh!
Great.
And Dillian White, and there's another guy that put on 25 or 30 pounds. What's going on with his weight thing? What happened there?
I think the training and all-you-can-eat buffets, myself. I mean, these guys, he was supposed to have gone away to Lanzarote, which is a Canary Isle, about 4 hours flight from the UK. And he was supposed to have got a training camp up there. There's no way he's been training hard up there. He's been eating hard and partying hard, maybe, but he certainly won't have been training hard. The weight he's coming in, it's a joke.
Okay, so Povetkin and him rumble again. And, of course, the promoters wanted to get this rematch going. It was postponed. I believe Povetkin tested positive for COVID. When they do rumble again, do we see the same thing? In other words, do we see Dillian White opening up an early lead, slapping a Povetkin, and then him eventually sneaking in the knockout punch? Because that wasn't, how can I put this? That wasn't a lucky shot there. The way he positioned himself and bobbed to that one side and moved to the other and feint, I mean, That was well planned.
Correct. And do you know what we're going to get a rerun of? Everyone's anticipating an exciting fight. For me, we're going to get a rerun of Ruiz Joshua too.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk lightweights for a second. Teofimo Lopez. Are people on that side of the pond excited about the new lightweight champion?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I thought maybe I'd get a little bit more out of you than that. Of course, he came off that, he beat Lomachenko. Lomachenko like undefeated in like almost four and something fights if you count his pro and his amateur careers put together. He had a 7-round lead, I thought, going into the 8th round. He won the first 7 rounds. And then people were like upset about some of the scores afterwards. Why were people screaming about the scores? Because they were too one-sided?
Probably, yeah. And also, it's the age-old thing as well. Then they try and tarnish a win by the opponent claiming they had shoulder injuries, this injury, that injury. It's beggars belief.
Okay, I'm about to dump on a guy that I've been real high on in the past, Oleg Usyk. He didn't look that good against Derek Chisora. Talk to me about that.
No, he didn't, because you got to remember he's coming from cruiserweight. What was that? His second heavyweight fight. The guy's not a puncher. He's never going to develop like when Holyfield came from cruiserweight. Well, light heavyweight, then cruiserweight, and then he came to heavyweight. Mm-hmm. You know, he took on real good fighters, didn't he? They weren't at the best, but they were good fighters. James Tillis, he had that war with Michael Doakes. So in those few early fights, you could see that Holyfield was going to mold into the heavyweight picture. With Usyk, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to make it as a heavyweight at all.
Okay, what about Tony Yoka, the kid from France that won the Olympic gold medalist, 6'7", 2016 Olympic gold medalist, won a decision, I believe, this week over Christian Hammer. Hammer falls to 25-7. Has he got any goods?
Possibly. Time will tell. You know, we see how he comes on when he starts stepping up the opposition and stuff. You know, it's like you say. There's no one really out there that excites me like they should do. I mean, just stepping back to the Dubois fight, there was no. The work rate was ridiculously slow. I was watching the TV, imagining Dubois being pasted in the face by a jab by Sonny Liston or Larry Holmes, and you just think to yourself, "Oh, it makes you cringe." With the what would happen? And then you look at Joyce, and he faces you with his head in his chest, just banging him and banging him, banging him, and that brings reality home to me that these heavyweights are just not anywhere near the level of what we've seen in the past.
You know, I was saying a few weeks ago, I was thinking about coming out of retirement at senior citizen age and at 140 pounds and fighting Joe Joyce. That's how bad Joe Joyce looked in that last fight. So then yesterday, I mean, it's not only he looked fantastic or something like that. It's just Dubois he gassed. What did you say, 15 seconds? He gassed so early. What? I mean, do these guys run?
I don't think so. I think they run to the nearest Burger King or McDonald's or whatever it is they're eating. But, you bang on. And do you know who made – I know we're going to step back into a fighter who fought the other night in the exhibition. Mm-hmm. Roy Jones was interviewed on TV. Mm-hmm. And I know – I have been in camps with Roy Jones, so I know exactly what Roy Jones is about. And he says we've lost grip with technique and fitness. You know, these trainers now want to put a guy in front of a heavy bag and punch you 200 times in a straight line. When are you going to get an opponent in front of you that you can punch with 200 straight punches? Okay, that's stamina and that's conditioning. But what about the technique? What about throwing a double jab, right hand, left hook to the body, left hook to the head? These trainers don't seem to be spending an awful lot of time doing that. So that's, you know, that's another reason why these fighters are gassing out, not looking the part. They've got no technique.
Okay. Last couple of minutes left with Kenny Rainford, of course, our UK ace. Kenny, Caleb Plant and Canelo Alvarez, what's going to happen there?
I don't know. I'm hanging on the fence on that one.
Well, I mean, does Plant have the tools to beat him?
I'd say no, but I've been proven wrong lately, so I was frightened to say.
I really thought Dubois was going to roll over Joyce. You know that?
Well, I did as well. I thought he was, but, you know, a friend of mine told me, bet all the money on Joyce. Joyce is going to beat him. He's got his number. He's awkward as hell, and he ain't going to eat. You know, Dubois needs to go back and learn not only to be fit, but he needs to learn to slip a jab. I don't think he slipped one jab all night.
Okay. Billy Joe Saunders and Martin Murray, the fourth coming up. Billy Joe from across the pond there, former WBO 160-pound champion, now fighting at 168. Has Martin got a shot here?
No. I don't think so at all. No.
Okay. Well, he doesn't like that. What about Errol Spence and Danny Garcia? Now, Errol Spence got tossed out of that car at 115 miles an hour. If ever there was a guy that could be damaged goods, it could be Errol Spence. Does Danny Garcia have a shot?
Say so.
How much of a shot?
I don't know, maybe 60-40.
Are you trying to say you would throw money on Garcia here?
I'd be tempted to. I really would be tempted to.
You know, I saw the neurological damage to Errol Spence in his eyes, both of that blood in his eyes after that mugshot, of course, the DUI mugshot, but he got thrown out of a car at 150 miles an hour. I just don't know how well a guy's going to recover from that, especially when you start hitting him in his eye.
Exactly, exactly. And as you know, the body's a very complex, very complex thing. I mean, you know, I don't think, looking back on, I know we're sticking with heavyweights because it's the main four, but I don't think Tex Cobb's chin or his ability to take a shot was ever the same after fighting Larry Holmes.
No. But you know what? One friend of mine said the fact that he was so drunk when he got tossed out of that car that his body really had no control, that actually might have helped him.
Yeah, I can believe that. But what's he doing getting drunk?
Anyway, and get this, he had a $10,000 handgun in his car.
Nice.
I know. It shows you what kind of class Errol Spence has. Anyway, you have a whole lot of cast. I love it when you spend some time with us. I know it takes you away from your family, Kenny. Say hello to the family, the kids, all that kind of good stuff for me. And I look forward to talking to you real soon.
Me too. Look forward to it. Great to speaking to you.
The great Kenny Rainford from the UK, folks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. I can fit in a toll-free phone call if you'd like. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, 1-415-275-1613. That's 1-415-275-1613. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.